welcome to episode 319 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes in the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. It's tough to know where you can go nowadays, and many Americans are turning to domestic travel. Here at Outlander Travel, we are no different, so for our agency meeting this year, we decided we've had enough of the Zoom calls and wanted to get out. So some of us fled to Miami Beach for training, site visits, and let's face it, you know, they had a cocktail or two as well. Maybe three.
Maybe five.
Sandy, Donna, Lindsay, and Elizabeth were all there, so tonight I thought I would ask them about what they learned and how they found Miami to be handling tourism now and with the pandemic looming over everyone's head. So let's get started. So yeah, I didn't make it on this particular trip, so I want to hear all about it.
Yes, we did.
I'm so glad I took this trip. It was
much needed. Yeah, I agree. Even though a tropical storm came through just in time for us all to fly into Miami.
Yeah, that was fun.
I thought that was the end of it all.
Well, you thought that 2 days before, but me and Donna were like, oh, we're coming.
Yeah.
If the plane's flying,
I'm out of here.
We're going to be on it.
It's a true testament to how resilient travel agents are. I'm sure George would have flown down in the tropical storm too, right, George?
Yeah, I don't. Flying in storms doesn't really bother me at all. I wouldn't want to fly down in an actual hurricane or a tornado, but yeah, take your chance.
Well, you know, the planes wouldn't fly in that, you know, like we arrived in the morning, the storm was supposed to hit that evening, you know, I felt okay. And, you know, my parents live in Myrtle Beach and my dad will not evacuate if it's less than a category 3 anymore, you know, like, so considering it was not even supposed to be a hurricane.
Yeah.
I kind of,
Yeah.
So I felt okay.
So that's the lesson, is you can fly in a tropical storm just as long as if the planes think they can fly. The weird thing is I've flown into Florida. Like last year I had a conference in Fort Lauderdale and I got in early the day before, but people who flew in that day had a lot of trouble getting there. And a lot of people were landing in West Palm Beach because there were thunderstorms. Mm-hmm. So those thunderstorms are actually less predictable than the weather wasn't nearly as bad. Like I was sitting by the pool. It was fine on the ground. But up in the air where the planes were, they were having a devil of a time and people were really, really delayed. It was really horrible. But none of you guys had a delay that I know of.
Well, we were all supposed to get there in the morning, right? And you flew early, right, Donna? Weren't you there?
Yeah, I got there around lunchtime.
I got there about the same time. I flew into Fort Lauderdale and it wasn't bad. It was a little choppy on the landing, but not bad. It wasn't the worst.
So how were the airports down there? Were they really busy? And because we know Miami can be crazy.
No,
I wouldn't say so. It was, I mean, there were definitely people. Most of the restaurants, some of the restaurants were open, some of them weren't. But for the most part, it was quiet, but not dead.
Mm-hmm. I usually have a rule in Miami that I don't take an Uber from the airport. And it's not because I don't like Ubers or Lyfts, but it's so crazy in that pickup area. It's really hard to find your Lyft and it just like makes me anxious. So I just take a cab. I don't love cabs either, but you know, or I use a hotel transfer. I took an Uber. I walked out the door and it looked like Raleigh Durham. Honestly, it was like, there were maybe 10 people standing out there. I was like, oh, I can do this. So yeah, it was slow enough that I felt like I was in a normal city, not in a bustling city. It was very sad to walk through and see all the cruise line desks closed. And yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, that was really tough.
I flew into Fort Lauderdale on Delta and they have torn that terminal up. I mean, like no ceiling, nothing. It was crazy in there. So I guess they're using this time to try to do some more construction type stuff, but I had met up with another agent and we shared an Uber to Miami. So I had to walk to the other terminal. It just wasn't bad. I mean, Fort Lauderdale is really simple. They have a rideshare designated spot if you're doing Uber. So you just walk out to that and call your Uber and it was easy. But like Starbucks was closed. There was not stuff going on in the terminal. So.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So nobody felt unsafe at any of the airports?
No.
No, not at all. But I will say, you know, on Delta right now, you know, at the time of this, they're saying that they're keeping the middle seat open until the end of the year. My first flight, the RDU to Atlanta connection, was the type of plane that only has two seats per side of the aisle, so four seats in a row total, and there was somebody beside me. And so, I mean, you know, when I came home, I was in the plane with three seats on each side, and I did have the middle seat empty, but if you're on one of the smaller planes, you're still going to sit beside somebody.
So. That's interesting. I didn't realize that was happening. I wonder if that was just a weird fluke.
It's a really small plane with only two seats on either side.
Yeah.
I mean, we kept our, I mean, they don't give you, they don't do the regular, you know, service. So they give you a little baggie with snacks and a bottle of water. And I just shoved it in my backpack and saved it for later. So it was fine.
And where was the conference held?
Was it the Kempton?
On South Beach.
Yeah, it was on at the Kempton Surfcomber. And it was really interesting because I did a lot of the planning for this. I didn't do all of the planning by any stretch or even most of the planning. Stacy did that. But having a meeting during this time is kind of interesting because you need to social distance and you need to. So, you know, they basically said, well, the room will comfortably hold 20. It was a small conference and you need to, and we'll have tables where you can sit 6 feet apart. Now, when we got there, the tables were actually set up with two people per table. So in order to sit 6 feet apart, you would have had to move your chairs and sit on the ends. And of course, with tables like that, there's legs there. So for the most part, people sat side by side, but we had people sharing rooms too. So, you know, we had enough people that knew each other regularly that felt comfortable doing that. So, but honestly, it was pretty easy. Everybody wore masks unless they were in a position where they weren't too close to somebody or the person that they were sitting with was comfortable. And our speakers took off masks so they could be heard, but they also stood 6 feet away from the people on the front row. So, I mean, I felt like it was adjusted. The other thing was like that we had food served, and instead of a normal, like at a meeting like this, you'd expect to go up and serve yourself, and you can't do that. So we had somebody in the meeting room with us the whole time serving food. And, you know, I don't know if they will start charging extra in the long run for something like that, but at this point, so few people were having meetings that was just part of the normal fees that we paid. You know, there was no additional cost for having a server there all the time. So it was really nice. They would come around and refill our glasses so we wouldn't have to get up. And they handled the pitchers. Nobody else touched the pitcher. So I thought it was really well done.
I thought they did a good job with the protocols. I felt like it was safe. I mean, I feel like it was as safe as me going to the grocery store and like the things I do here at home, where I wear a mask and I practice the distance, like the things I do here, we were doing there. And I felt like it was really good. And I will say too, like Florida kind of has this, this kind of Wild West reputation right now because the governor is so eager to have it so wide open, but Miami was not. They required the masks everywhere. There were even signs on the streets, like banners hanging from the light posts and stuff that said "Mask Up Miami." And like when Stacy and I walked back to the hotel one day after our site inspections, we kept our masks on walking down the street the whole way, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that was what was expected. So I felt like they were doing a really good job.
I think it's the mayor of Miami that's mandated that in Miami. And the hotels we went into said that, or maybe it was actually my contact at Kempton said that if you are caught as a business not enforcing the mask rules, there's heavy fines involved. So they're taking it pretty seriously. It's certainly more serious implications than I've heard happening here in North Carolina. There's threats here, but I haven't really heard of anybody getting punished. But apparently there's a real fear there that if they don't follow the rules, they will be shut down.
So. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I did. I felt very safe. And we went out to eat, and it you know, it's something that I don't do here. I don't feel really comfortable doing that here, but there it seemed okay. Maybe that was the cocktails. I'm not going to lie. Maybe I felt a little safer because I had a little booze in me, but I did. I mean, I felt like the tables were far apart and they had good control over that. And it wasn't like they weren't trying to cram lots and lots of people into any particular place that we were. So.
Right.
So who wants to go over the Kimpton and tell us what you thought of the resort? Oh, Sandy's waving.
So I have something I want to talk about the Kimpton. I've stayed at another Kimpton before, and the Kimptons all have a different kind of vibe to them, kind of motif or feel. So this one was really cool. But one thing that they have that I love is their shampoos and their lotions and... I know, it's crazy. I'm kind of
funny. They were really
nice.
No, it's
not crazy.
Yeah, those were really nice, yeah.
So this was my birthday gift from my husband. I came home and I said I wanted all the Kimptons. So he ordered it for me online, and I got like these 16-ounce bottles of each. They're expensive. That was a nice gift. But they're awesome. Yeah, anyway, so that's what I have to say about the Kimpton.
So other than the toiletries, I do, like, the Kimpton Surf Comber is many, many Miami buildings, and we learned this as we did these site inspections, it used to be something else. And it still has that Art Deco vibe, but they've sort of updated as much as they can. So I was very fortunate in that I got a corner room, so I had a really big room. I know that some of the rooms you guys said were pretty small, yes, as far as your standard.
It felt like an older building. Yeah.
And there were no plugs.
The room wasn't so small, but the bathroom was very tight.
Yeah. It reminded me of what I might get in a city stay, like, which we were in Miami, so it is a city stay, but like that's a beach city, whereas like New York City, I expect that small room with a skyscraper kind of thing, and I felt like it was definitely that that feel. My room was big, but I still had the small bathroom that everybody else had, so yeah, good for one, uncomfortable for two, for sure.
Well, I mean, I shared with Lindsay, and it was double beds, it wasn't queen beds, but it was fine. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to stay a week with my family in a room like that, but, you know, I probably wouldn't put four adults in a room like that, but two adults was fine.
Yeah. As long as you didn't need the bathroom at the same time.
Well, that's typical though.
And Kimptons are pet friendly. So we saw lots of doggies. We didn't have our doggies with us, but we saw lots of doggies. So yeah, very pet friendly. So if you have allergies, that's something to be aware of. I think you can ask for an allergy free room. We didn't test that though. I wasn't bothered. I felt my room was very clean. And there was no housekeeping during the week either. I mean, like we were there I was there four nights. Tuesday. Yeah. And no housekeeping, which was fine by me. I mean,
yeah, we had to call for towels, but it was fine. Another thing Kimpton does that's pretty cool is the happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yes. Of course, there is a resort fee. So that's part of what's covered in your resort fee. But I will say, I mean, I think the resort fee is $30 a night. And considering you get all the wine you can drink for an hour each night, I mean, if you have two glasses of wine, it pretty much pays for itself. Granted, the wine is their cheapest possible wine and they serve it in a little paper cup. But, I mean, that and the Wi-Fi, I think $30 a night is pretty reasonable. And I don't usually say that about a resort fee. But.
Well, I think the resort fees are kind of normal in Miami, though. You know, so it's one of those things. It'd be nice if it was just rolled into the price and you knew, you know, but it's what hotels are doing. A lot of hotels do it, so.
That is true. Anywhere you're in a high tourist area.
I would say the Kimpton would be really good for people who want a smaller hotel feel. We definitely saw some bigger properties, and we'll probably talk about one of those next. But this was a very intimate. I mean, I don't think I asked how many rooms they have, but I'm guessing maybe 100. You know,
well, they
had two
sides of the building.
Another
thing that was, well, and they also do things to this one, like yoga fitness classes, and they have kind of a wellness feel to them, which we didn't get to do all that because we were so busy. Cool thing was right across the street, there's a taco bar, and it's a big taco bar with like, it's just a cool, like Lindsay got there late. We had gone to a different restaurant, but she got there late and just walked across the street and had like a burrito or something and or quesadilla. And we came in, me and Stacy walked over to meet her after, and I got like a really nice big margarita. It was like as big
so
as
that's
my
why she liked the taco place.
It was awesome. It was nice. Yeah, it was good. Well, and it was the food was cheap. I think that my margarita was like $30 or something. Yeah. But it was really like a couple margaritas.
Yep. That's how they get you.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So the next hotel on the list I'm interested to hear about is the Loews Miami Beach. And I stayed at the Loews Hollywood on the Adventures by Disney tour. So I'm excited to hear what you thought, because I thought the Hollywood Hotel was fantastic.
So I haven't been to the Hollywood Hotel, although it is on my list. It was one that I was looking at when I was supposed to go to LA. And I've stayed at the Loews hotels that are at Universal Studios, of course. Yep. It's huge. I mean, that hotel was huge. Huge conference space. Like, yeah, enormous. Basically, they when they bought the property, they took over the, is it the St. Moritz? Is that what it was called?
I don't remember.
So, and that's sort of an annex building. So the rules about old Miami Beach are so interesting. The historical society is very powerful there. But it's a huge building. And it was interesting because we were there right after this tropical storm. And they were dealing with a lot of water damage from that. It seems like the buildings in Miami have holes in them, because we had a couple of situations where elevator shafts were damaged by the heavy rain. And you'd think in Miami, they'd be ready for that. But I mean, it was like over 20 stories, wasn't it?
It was big, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was a large square footage as far as property, I mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a small pool, things considered for a property that size, but also on the beach. It had a good vibe. The thing is, being there during COVID and right after a tropical storm, we really couldn't tell who was there. You know, like, we got no feel for the atmosphere of the place. Definitely a conference hotel. If I were planning a big conference, top of my list for Miami. For
this
sure.
was the one where they told us that they were, the way they were handling their quarantine was that whenever somebody checked out of a room, it was locked down for like, what would they say, 72 hours or something?
That was actually the Confidant. I have no idea how you confuse those two, but it was actually the Confidant.
What? No.
Well, maybe it was both, because I asked that.
Well, I know. Yeah, because we were waiting for the elevators. Maybe you weren't with me, but yeah. But she was saying that they did that. They
okay.
took the rooms out of rotation. Maybe they, I mean, that seems like it would be a hotel standard thing if you have.
Yes.
Like 50% capacity, and you know, because you have
to- Well, and that was the thing. Miami doesn't have a capacity rule for the hotels, from what I understood. That's what all the hotels were saying. So they're sort of enforcing their own capacity. So in theory, they could be at 100 capacity one night and then zero the next with that 24-hour rule, but the chances of that happening are pretty slim. So yeah.
Right.
So it does cut your attendance by a bit. So, but I mean, I think it would be a good family property. It's just so big. And I think I've put people there for Miami vacations. I've looked at it for pre-cruise. I don't know that I would go there pre-cruise because it's just so big, you know?
Yeah.
It's just
I agree. I think conference would be good, you know?
Confidant? Oh, you mean doing a business conference? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 It, they had a whole floor devoted to it, like a conference center, almost like what you have at Royal Pacific, mm-hmm. With lots and lots of space, lots of rooms with different capacities and breakout rooms and things like that. So, yeah, definitely, I think, a more business focused hotel. Yeah. Some of the same, the great service. I mean, the staff that we met there were fantastic. Good bar downstairs. Again, it was closed because we were there in the morning. But yeah, it was really big. So. Yeah,
it was cool.
Cool. All right. So the next one, I've heard of Eden Rock. I don't know that I've done much research on it. And what's the next one? Is it Nobu?
Nobu, yeah.
So like the restaurant?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Like the restaurant. They own hotels now too. And so Vegas now, I think one floor of one of the hotels is a Nobu hotel slash, and that's where the restaurant is as well. This one, I mean, you guys want to comment first? Because I may bring the mood down.
I mean, it was kind of, they were connected. So you had both, you know, all the amenities of both.
It wasn't exactly the right time to see that.
There was something leaking. Yeah, there was a lot. Well,
one whole bank of elevators was out, but that wasn't even. And there was also a sewage smell. But again, we just had a storm, so I'm not going to think that that's a regular. I just felt like it was a little bit, considering how hyped up it's been, because Eden Rock, this is part of AIC, so they've had these like you know, all inclusive promotions, which is really unusual in the U.S. But I did, we did read actually when we were at the next hotel, I was reading an article that had just come out about the management of the hotel had changed again. I haven't heard that it's not AIC, but it's, there's another management company underneath it. Mm-hmm. And I did get the feeling when we were there that there was a bit of chaos. Could have been related to the storms, but you know, the person that was supposed to meet us never showed up. We ended up with somebody else on the sales team. He was in meetings. Could have been about this new acquisition. I mean, you know, it could have been completely out of his control. But it was very weird that we were sort of left.
Yeah, I didn't realize all that. But I will say that this one didn't really stand out to me like some of the others did. In fact, the next three really stood out to me.
Yeah, it was another large property that I feel is living off of its reputation and its name a little bit. And I mean, maybe it's, I don't mean to be hard on it because we didn't stay there. The rooms were nice for sure. They were roomy, you know, some pretty views. So if somebody said, let's stay there, I'd be like, okay, I'd be willing to try it. But we didn't get a really great impression while we were there. So I don't have that much more to say about it, but the restaurant is very, very good. We didn't get to eat there, so I can't speak for that. Everything smelled really nice, food wise, but, and they definitely had a lot of space where you could, you know, like outdoor space, indoor space, lots of lounge space. So
yeah, big lobby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now the next resort, I've heard about before, but I was watching Aerial America a few weeks ago and they were actually covering Miami and they brought up this particular hotel, and is it Fontainebleau?
Fontainebleau.
Okay.
Fontainebleau.
This one was awesome. This hotel made me shocked that I had not heard of it before. I mean, I'd heard of it, but I really didn't know. But I think this one is like part of Miami lore or something, you know, like it's got some history to it.
It does. Frank Sinatra was in residence there. And I think it's been there for so long. It had mob connections for a while. I will say, if you get a chance to take a tour of these buildings, take the tour. Even if you're not staying there, if there's an opportunity to tour it. We spent like 2.5 hours there, which is really long
for a site inspection. For this one, yeah. Right? Don't they do a tour when you're staying?
Yeah, they do. I feel like there's 2 days a week or something. So you want to ask when you check in. Yeah. They were very, like they, when we checked in, well, when we walked in the door, there was somebody at the door giving out bracelets that were taking our temperatures. So, and the bracelets, I think, are coded based on where you're staying. It's a complex. There's 4 buildings, I think. And two of them are residences. So basically you can purchase a condominium, but it's kind of a timeshare and kind of not. And so you can rent those as well. So full kitchens, we toured one of those as well. So 2 of the buildings are those, and then 2 of the buildings are standard hotel rooms. And I stayed here actually for a pre-cruise with my kids before. It's crowded in like real times. It's super crowded. So it was really nice to see it kind of empty and enjoy it. The bar is kind of very Mad Men. You've probably seen it in movies too. The famous Elvis has left the building. When Frank Sinatra said that, he was at the Fontainebleau. That he was, you know, that was a performance at the Fontainebleau. So they do concerts there. I think the year that I was there, Demi Lovato was doing the New Year's Eve concert. And then there's a staircase that was featured in The Marvelous Miss Maisel. So you've probably seen it before without knowing that that's what you were looking at. It sort of is Miami, you know, in many ways.
Yeah, I got the feeling that the people that were giving us the tour were very proud of it and the reputation and the history. And it was cool. And the nightclub. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
They took us into the nightclub, which is like $5,000 a table kind of nightclub, you know, like people like Beyonce and Madonna. And I mean, it's that level.
Went there after they won the Super Bowl.
we are technically not cool enough. Yeah, we could not normally get in there, but it's closed and has been for a while. So he was like, come on, let's go in. It was great. It was great to be able to see it. I mean, like famous DJs play there. It's just like, yeah. Again, it is part of the Miami scene. The kind of place that he said it doesn't even open until midnight, right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Probably, yeah.
And it doesn't get going till 2.
Yeah, we are definitely not cool enough for that.
No, not cool enough.
But it was by far the best of the properties that we saw. And not just, I mean, we saw great properties, but it was so fascinating. It's so much history in that building. So.
It was cool. Yeah.
Okay. The next resort I've never heard of. It's Confidant.
Mm-hmm. So here's where I'm going to break with you, Elizabeth. I think this was my favorite.
I did love this. So if you're looking for big hotel, Fontainebleau. If you're looking for little hotel, Confidant. That's how
it's
feel.
The Hyatt, right? In the Hyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually doing, Hyatt is doing a remote work kind of special. If you are a remote worker and you want to, work from someplace that you can walk out on the beach after you finish work, you can do that here. So this was cool. There was a lot of art at this one, which I love.
So Miami's very Art Deco. South Beach is very Art Deco. And incidentally, Fontainebleau is not technically South Beach. It's sort of mid beach. So when you get back, Confidant's back on the South Beach. Now it's on, am I correct? And it's on the other side of Collins. So it's not on the beach side of Collins. It's on the other side of Collins, right?
No, it's on the beach
side. It is on the beach side? Okay, sorry.
It is.
I got turned around.
I stayed there.
Okay, I knew you had. I was going to get to that. So it's very mid-century modern. So it's very, it's not the Art Deco 20s and 30s that a lot of South Beach is. It's actually just a few years after that with the mid-century modern, which I love. And it's funny because actually Robbie from Nexion sent me a video on my Facebook page when he saw that we were there. There was a music video that was filmed there. I can't even remember. It's somebody famous. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Katy Perry, but it was
Dua Lipa or?
I think it was Dua Lipa. Yes, I think so. So very cool.
People much cooler than us know these things.
People way cooler than us. So it was a good little video, but the rooms have, they each have bar carts in them, these sort of mid-century modern bar carts. And it had such a great.
You walk in and the lobby has like roped off sections and there are like flamingos are holding the ropes. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. Really cool. Yeah.
And Donnie, you stayed there. How did you feel the service and the sort of attention to detail was while you were there?
Well, we actually stayed in an older section. They had rebuilt and completely remodeled part of the hotel, but when we stayed there about 2 years ago, we were in an older section of the hotel. It was very clean, it was very nice, it was very neat, but you could definitely tell that there were several inches of paint on the walls. But it was, the kids enjoyed it. Everything was very, very convenient. The towels, everything. I mean, you just basically walked up and grabbed a towel. The service at the pool area was very, very nice. The restaurant that was located right there had a great breakfast. The bar is phenomenal. So, I mean,
yeah, the bar was great.
It was reasonable. I mean, some of the Lowe's, the Fontainebleau were very high end hotels and definitely you paid for that. The Confidant was a little more budget friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And still on the beach.
This one also had a fitness kind of vibe to it. They had, they took us up and showed us the fitness room, which was really big for a hotel of this size. But they have this outdoor area too, where it's a rooftop kind of area where they can do yoga classes and things like that. And the whole wall was like a mural of it. So the art was very featured. Fitness was very featured, but it had just a cool, funky feel to it. And they gave us face masks that were commissioned by a local artist. So those were cool. And that's one of my favorite face masks that I use right now. So.
Yeah. And the art that was in the building was actually a local artist who was in residence when he painted them. And that's the other cool feature of this hotel is there's this old Miami house that's on the property that they moved it in order to fit where it is. And build out, but it's been preserved and they use it for events and things. But they said that they even had the family over to, you know, to celebrate a birthday of the you know, older gentleman who grew up in that house.
Yeah.
So just like little things like that they just made them very warm and friendly. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Cool. And the last resort we're going to talk about is SLS.
Yep.
That's funky.
This was one I had never heard of. And it was right next door to where we were staying. So very close to the taco bar. I loved this resort. I thought this was so cool. This one, it was way cooler than me.
Yeah, this one was way cooler than any of us, George included. Yeah, it was. They took us into a suite that had been designed by what's his name?
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz. Yeah, like this is big time. And the people we saw there were way cooler than the guy who was taking us on the tour was the, some of the restaurants there are made, it's a lifestyle hotel, and so food is one of their things. And as he was taking us through one of the restaurants, he said, yeah, we ate here for my brother's birthday last week. And Cuba Gooding Jr. was sitting over at that table and he came over.
The restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, it's apparently the place to be in Miami. And we were there.
He also said they're one of the hosts for the Ultra Festival, which is the electronic dance music festival that it's big. And I mean, obviously it's not big in 2020, but it's normally very big in Miami. And they're one of the hotels that they do things out at their pool and stuff like that. So it's a very cool vibe. He talked a lot about when they showed us the rooms, he mentioned like bachelorette parties where like the bride and the maid of honor or something might get the suite. And then like all the bridesmaids might get regular rooms in the regular tower. And so I guess they do a lot of really party things like that.
They also have an entrance. So near the beach, they have, I think he called it the beach house. I can't remember. Again, the pool house, maybe. It's way too cool for me. But it turns into a nightclub at night in regular times. And there's actually a driveway beside the hotel so that guests, who people who are not staying at the hotel can actually come in very easily. There's like a drop-off circle there. Nice. So your Uber can take you right up to where the party's happening and you don't have to walk through the hotel. So I mean, not only are they a party place, but they've planned.
Well, they did mention that so families can stay there, but set the expectation, put the families in the main tower, not those outbuildings, make sure they know that it's going to be like, you know, I mean, obviously there are
until 2 or 3, 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some families that are cool with that, but you want to set that expectation. So, it was cool.
And that was something that struck me.
There was a giant rubber duck on the pool deck.
There were like thrones in the like shallow parts of the pool. They had kind of a zero entry kind of section. And that was cool. I could see myself like just sitting on the throne all day.
That is just, no. I think the thing that surprised me about Miami Beach was I've heard South Beach my whole life, and I just imagined it's just a party all the time. Now, granted, we were there during COVID times, but SLS was the only hotel, Eden Rock and Nobu maybe, where I just felt like party was the focus. But even right next door at the Kimpton, that's not a party hotel. I mean, it just isn't. It's not built that way. You can tell that it's not purposed that way. And so it's interesting that right next to you, you know, there's this party place. So I do feel like Miami Beach probably is a lot more than what you think Miami Beach is. Whatever you think Miami Beach is, there's probably other parts to it that are not that.
Honestly, the only times I've stayed in Miami have been pre-cruise, and it's always been downtown. And this made me think I would do like 2 nights pre-cruise and just stay in South Beach. I loved South Beach. Everything was so walkable. Just cool stuff everywhere. I loved it. It was awesome.
And the food.
Oh my God.
So much good food.
Yeah.
So much.
So good.
So what was your favorite restaurant?
Do you guys have a favorite?
Oh, my favorite child. So together we ate at 2 restaurants together. One was Big Pink, which was a diner. And it was excellent. It was a diner. George, you would have been very happy there. You could have gotten, you would have been just fine there. And actually when we were discussing where to eat that night, Lindsay and I put up this much more frou-frou restaurant and Donna was like, no, veto. So we went to the diner, but it was great. I mean, and as far as diners go, I mean, it was still kind of interesting and fancy. It wasn't just burgers and fries. That, you know, they sort of dressed it up a little bit.
They're known for their portion sizes, and they are not.
Yeah, they are not kidding. There's no joke.
It would have been enough for 3 people. Yeah.
No joke. And then the other place that we went was the Bazaar by
Jose Andres.
Jose Andres. Yeah, I always get it wrong. So he's sort of the the chef that is always helping people. He's a humanitarian. So he went down to Puerto Rico when the hurricane hit and, you know, served Bahamas, food to people. And that was really good. It was tapas. And it was interesting because as we're all, you know, there's four of us there. We want to split the check. No, there were five of us there.
Yeah.
And you know, trying to figure out how to order tapas and split a check. Tapas is basically appetizers where it's designed to be kind of family style. During COVID, we're like, yeah, family style. Sure. That'll be awesome. So, but we've been together for 3 days already. So, but I think even, you know, Donna, who has a much smaller appetite, you were happy, were you not?
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, the food was excellent. I had no complaints, but I definitely, I wouldn't recommend it to somebody that is a meat and potatoes kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Like George.
It would definitely be a gourmet that really is a little more adventurous.
This is your adventurous foodie friends who want to sit around and drink and know they're going to spend a lot on a meal, but it's going to be totally unique and you're going to trust your waiter because he knows what he's telling you. And that was my most expensive meal, but that was an awesome experience.
And on the scale of expensive, if you're listening to this saying, okay, well, what is that? What is expensive? To me, my final bill was $100.
$120. That, yeah.
Well, with tip and everything. Well, and I will say, I think I tricked everybody into paying for my more expensive cocktails in a way, because I ordered the most expensive cocktail on the menu and we split the check evenly. And I realized it later. So I probably owe you guys a couple bucks, but
buy me a drink.
They had this thing, to be fair, it was only like $2 more than the other ones. And I had two of them. They had this drink called the Ultimate Gin and Tonic. And I was like, is this really the Ultimate Gin and Tonic? He's like, trust me, this. And it was excellent. It was excellent. I will be looking for a gin and tonic to rival this one. But it was only, it was in the 100, 120 range. And I've certainly paid more than that for a meal in many large cities. So.
I have, but I don't often, you know, like.
Right. No, for sure.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not downplaying the cost, but for people who are used to eating at really fine restaurants, this was an excellent restaurant right up there with many of the best places I've eaten. And it was definitely less expensive than most of the places I've eaten. So.
It was cool too. I mean, like, oh, everything we had was really cool. It was good. Remember, you didn't have that deconstructed caprese salad.
No, with like, the squirty don't tomatoes. Pop the
cheese when you're putting it on the table. I pop the cheese.
It was deconstructed, George. So it was like Wonderland, and the cheese was like a liquid cheese.
Okay,
yeah. And it was like, get it on your spoon, but don't pop the cheese. You want to pop it in your mouth. And I'm like, I popped the cheese.
Yeah, there was liquid everywhere. She just messed the whole thing up. But, you know, it was great. And actually, there was an Asian restaurant. This was at SLS, actually. We just walked next door for dinner. And some of our group went to the sushi restaurant and said it was outstanding. That's the restaurant where Cuba Gooding Jr. had been dining the week before. And they said it was absolutely some of the best, like, best fried rice they'd ever had. I'm not sure how you, like, compare fried rices, but
that would be hard to mess up.
I know. Well, and it's hard to say, okay, this was, I can't imagine what was so great about it. It might have had cocaine in it or something. Like, what makes it so great? It's fried rice.
You know, it is Miami,
right? But they said it, and they all agreed that it was outstanding. So yeah, just amazing food.
And so the first night, some of us, you weren't with us, Elizabeth, but Donna and me and Nitra and Stacy went to CJ's Crab Shack, which was on the beach. And it was interesting because it was, you know, the first night was when the tropical storm was actually coming through, and the main road on South Beach was pretty flooded, actually. And they had to our Uber driver had to drop us off like a block away from our restaurant, which was okay. You know, we just got a little bit wet, but that was a really good meal. I had their like seafood, everything, and it was so good. I really liked that place.
And I had the stone crabs. They're in season right now, so they were very, very good.
I had king crab, but I also had like oysters and shrimp, and I can't remember. I mean, it was like a big seafood platter of so much food, and I ate it all. It was so good.
And it was a daiquiri bar, so Nitra had. I think she got a margarita, but it had an extra like
a floater,
little bottle, airplane bottle of Cuervo in it.
Nice. But she was feeling good.
Well, she took it out and didn't drink it.
Floater. My first restaurant, which was the night before you guys got there, we went to a seafood restaurant called Stiltsville, which had been recommended by the by our contact at the hotel. And it was seafood. It was great. And Jill actually ordered a tackle box, and they brought out a tackle box filled with seafood, like all kinds of shellfish and stuff. So that it was really good. I had like a lobster mac and cheese, but I also had several cocktails. So it was an excellent meal, but I don't remember all of it. Not in detail anyway. It's kind of foggy. So, but that was great. It had a great atmosphere. And again, it had a great atmosphere, even with very few people in it, which is a really good judge of, you know, how good of a time people are having.
So one thing to pay attention when you're in Miami, and we saw this everywhere we went, was that the tip was always added in when we got our check, and nobody ever told us that, you know, like Nitra noticed it every time. And, probably should have paid a little bit more of attention to it. I know at the taco place, I don't know what they did, but for some reason when the bill came, it was just the receipt you signed. And so if you hadn't looked really closely before you gave them your credit card, you wouldn't have realized that. So it's just something to pay attention to, you know, to make sure that you know.
Interesting.
We also did a tour of Little Havana, if we have enough time to just talk a little bit about it, which I highly recommend. That was something that had been on my list for a long time, was to go to Little Havana. I have a friend from Miami who grew up in that area, and she's brought me back some of the best food. And so I was like, I've got to go at some point. So this was just the perfect opportunity. There are a lot of things are closed because of COVID. It was definitely not what it normally is. And we were kind of warned of that. I didn't tell everybody else this, but you know, when we booked the tour, they said, we promise you'll have all the things that are listed on the advertisement for this tour, but it may not be in the places that we promised you would have it because they just aren't open. And that was fine. So the Cuban coffee or whatever, I don't even know which things were substituted, honestly, because we had such a great experience.
I wouldn't have known that at all. No. That was
the only thing I really missed was the music.
Yeah.
Cause I've been down in that area before, and you hear music everywhere. It's coming out of the stores and the restaurants and the bars and all that kind of stuff. And that was the only thing that it was too quiet.
It was a very quiet neighborhood. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which you wouldn't have expected.
There were chickens running around. Yes. Wild in Miami. Yeah, I know. It was wild. That was cool. I am so glad I did that. I loved learning about that area and the local, you know, the history of it and all of that. And that is a really great, like if you are returning from a cruise and you have a late flight, something like that would be a great cap to your trip. Mm-hmm.
And it does. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning and ends at like 2. So it's great for those later flights when you can't get anything before 4 or 5. And that's something we could set up for you. I think that it's so important to see some of Miami and not just breeze through it, because it's such an interesting, unique city. You know, America's got a lot of unique, interesting cities. Miami's definitely one of them, with lots and lots of flavor and character.
Yeah. And to reiterate again, everybody was so thankful that we were there. They were really trying to make it work with the COVID, you know, stuff with your mask and, you know, like all the quarantine things, but they're hurting. They're not getting any international travelers. And this is a huge international city. So it's, you know, you can really see where it's hurting. And, you know, I am very, I'm very funny about when I walk into places, especially in rural North Carolina, when I'm driving back and forth to my parents or something, and people aren't wearing masks. And I feel like, you know, it just gives me an uneasy feeling. I didn't feel that at all in Miami. I felt like everyone was really doing what they should be doing, and it was enforced. And they were thankful that you were there. And, you know, I just appreciated it all. I had a really good time.
And I will say, I had a COVID, well, I didn't have a COVID test. My husband and my son had COVID tests 2 weeks after I got back, all negative. You've taken a COVID test, right, Sandy?
Or not? I haven't since I went back, but I did before I went, because my husband told me he was not feeling well, like 5 days. I was like, what? So he ended up, it was nothing, and he was actually fine. But I went and got a same day test just because I wanted to have that peace of mind, because I wouldn't have gone if there wasn't. Mm-hmm.
So I think you know, we had about 16 people total with guests and everything at that, maybe 17.
Size.
That and was- no one has tested positive since then. And we're a month out from it now. So it is possible. I'm not saying you should, but if you're comfortable, it is possible to travel safely, even to some place like Miami, which has a bad reputation for not being cautious. So.
Okay. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page at OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.